Man, what an incredible morning of worship it has been. And you know, we just sang about the goodness of God running after us, right? Do you believe that the goodness of God is actually running after you this morning? That God in his goodness is pursuing you, that God in his goodness is surrounding you, blessing you, protecting you. Listen, if you do, I just want to invite you to join with me in praising God for his goodness right now. Can we just do that? Let's praise God for his goodness to us. Amen. Hey, this morning, I want to just kind of dive right in to where we are going. So I'm just going to ask you right up front. What's the best advice you've ever received? What's coming to your mind right now? And let me give you some categories just so to kind of, you know, focus your thinking. Think about, first of all, if you're single, you're dating, what's the best advice you ever got? Man, the advice that I love is, hey, if you're dating, here's what you do. You run as hard and fast after Jesus as you possibly can. You look to your left, your right, and see who's running alongside you, and you date and preferably marry that person if that's what you are wanting to do. What about marriage advice? What's the best marriage advice you've ever received? I think the best advice is don't let the sun go down on your anger, right? Don't go to bed angry. So if you're like Kim and me, that means if you're not going to go to bed angry, you're going to have some late nights, right, before you get to go to sleep, all right? What about parenting advice? If you're a parent, what's the best advice you ever receive? I think the best, I don't know if it's honestly advice, but I still love it. Grandchildren are God's blessing for not killing your own children. Yeah, right? Okay, yeah, not so funny. Like I said, I hate that one. I don't like it. That's offensive. Please don't cancel me, okay, for saying that. Now, I want to switch gears even again. I want you to think about painful times in your life. Any of you ever gone through a painful experience, painful times? Are you in the midst of it right now? What's the best advice you've ever received to help you get through painful times? Now, I'm not recommending any of the advice. I'm just telling you some of the advice that I've heard, and I think most of it pretty much stinks. But how about this? Going through tough times, have you ever heard this advice? This too shall pass. Does that make you feel better? How about this? Tough times don't last, but tough people do. You're feeling better now, aren't you? I can tell it. I can tell by the grumble in the crowd. How about this? Grin and bear it. That's not real helpful. How about this? God never promised you a rose garden. Yeah, you can tell I grew up listening to country music. Don't worry. Those who don't understand that, don't worry about it. What about this? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I can tell by the whole kind of atmosphere in here that you feel better. You feel encouraged. You feel like, man, I could go home right now, and I've been so blessed, and I know how to get through painful times now. No, I don't sense that at all. Now, here's the deal. We're going to talk about flourishing this morning, and we're going to talk about flourishing in our pain, flourishing even in the midst of painful times. But let me tell you something. The counsel that we are going to examine is not human wisdom. It's not the stuff that you would read out of a fortune cookie. It's not something that Confucius said. It's actually something that the one who created us, the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, it's something that he tells us through his servant David in an ancient psalm. And yet what he says to us is just as fresh and as new as when he communicated it to David about 900 or so years before the birth of Jesus. So I want to invite you to open your Bible, Psalm chapter 61. We're going to have it on the screen, and I invite you to read along with me, as I often do. I'm going to invite you to stand with me so that we can study and just declare this to be true. Why do I ask you to stand? Because it's our way. My invitation to you is to let this be a way in which you tell God, God, I am standing at attention. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. Because you know when you're reading this word that you're reading the very words of God, not the words of some human, but the words of God. So will you read this with me? First of all, let me read the first part. To the choir master with stringed instruments of David. So this is a psalm of David. Here we go. Let's read it together. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for honoring God and honoring his word. Hey, listen, we're talking about how to flourish even in the midst of painful times, all right? And as we read these words, here's what I hear God saying to me. I pray it's what God will be saying to you. And I pray, listen to me, I mean this, so lean in and listen to this for a second. I really pray that what I'm about to share with you becomes kind of a mantra that you literally repeat throughout this coming week to begin to shift your thinking about the pain in your life. Here's what I hear God saying. Life is hard for now, but not forever. That's what I believe he's communicating to us about the pain in our life. Now think about it. How many of you would testify that life is hard for now, that this life is hard? Raise your hand if you believe that that's a true statement. Life is hard. That's like 25% of you. The rest of y'all, man, y'all got it good. I love that. Now, how many of y'all believe the statement, life's hard for now, but you believe the part, but not forever? In other words, there is a better day. There is a better time coming. Life is not always going to be hard, but one day we are going to live with Jesus and life is going to be way, way better, and it is not going to be hard at all. I want to see a show of hands. How many of y'all believe that though life is hard now, it won't be hard forever? Raise your hand on that one. Amen. That's nearly 100%. That represents the great hope of faith and the great hope of following Jesus. And I want you to just follow along in your mind. I want this message to make very much just sense. I want it to be rational. I want you to be able to think this through throughout this week. So here's the points that I'm going to make today. Life is hard. God helps. Do your part. Life is hard, but hey, in the midst of it, God is helping, but God still expects you to do your part. So let's just dive in. You ready to dive in? Let's look, first of all, at how life is hard. Notice in verse 1, it says, hear my, what does it say? Hear my what? Say it with me. Cry. The truth is, no one makes it through this life pain-free. Nobody gets to live their life and never end up crying. The truth is, you can't even make it through a day pain-free if you begin to define pain as frustration, irritation, and every other thing like that, right? I mean, if you think that you can make it through a day pain-free without being irritated or frustrated, then you obviously don't drive on 75 during rush hour. Amen? I mean, the reality is you can't make it through a single day without being frustrated, irritated, and so here's my question for you. Think about this. I want you to kind of lean in with me, and let's just come reason together. Where did we get this idea that life is supposed to be less painful? Where do we get this idea that our life is supposed to be pain-free now? I'm not saying that's a bad question. I'm not saying it's a bad expectation. I'm just asking you to consider with me, where in the world do we get that? Where does that idea come from? I believe it comes from the fact that we really do long for another world. It's C.S. Lewis. I've quoted it to you about 1,000 times. I'm sure I'll quote it to you 1,000 more. He says, if there is within our heart a longing for that which nothing in this world can satisfy, it is pretty good proof that we were made for another world. The reason you long for a pain-free life, the reason I long for a pain-free life, is because we were created to live in a world that is unbroken and has no pain in it. We long for a pain-free life like a Revelation 21 life. Have you ever read these words? Just let them sink in. He will. This is talking about the life that is to come, live with Jesus in his kingdom. He says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor, say this word with me, what? Any more. For the former things have passed away. That's where that longing comes from. God created us with a desire to live life as unbroken people in an unbroken world. But here's the thing we have to remember. Jesus never promised us a pain-free life now. He promised us a pain-free life in the future. In the meantime, we have to recognize that life is not going to be pain-free because we are broken people. By that, I just mean you are broken. You realize that. You are a sinner, right? And that means that you sin against other people and you cause pain in their life. But guess what? Everybody around you is also broken. So that means they sin against you and they cause pain in your life. We live in a broken world, and in a broken world, we're going to cry. And we're going to go through incredibly painful times. So what if you and I began to change our perspective? What if we did it this week? And what if when we go through irritation, frustration, tribulation, what if when we are thinking about crying because our life is so hard and difficult, what if we changed our perspective from demanding that God give us a pain-free life now? What if we just stop to recognize the reality of the world as God has revealed it to us? What if we began to say, yep, my life is painful now because I live in a fallen, broken world. My life is painful now because I sin against others and others sin against me. Yep, my life is painful now, but thank God, my life is not going to be painful forever. And by the way, the pain now reminds me of a better future that God has promised me. What would happen if you really began to embrace that, mom and dad? When your child does something really dumb, parents, do your children, they're facing me right now. They will never see your hands. Do your kids ever do anything that's dumb? No. Not a single parent's going to raise their hand. They're going, no. My kids have got eyes in the back of their head. There's no way I'm going to raise. You know what? Kids do stuff dumb. What if you really embrace the reality? Life is hard now, but it's not going to be so forever. What if you really, the next time your kid does something really dumb, you go, yep, my kid really is a chip off the old block. Acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. They're doing the same dumb stuff I did, and they're irritating their parents like I irritated my parents. And the reality is, my kids are broken, so my kids are going to do some really dumb stuff. But thank God, they won't do dumb stuff forever. Because if they embrace Jesus Christ as their King and their Lord and their Savior, they are one day going to live with Jesus. And they will be unbroken, and they will live in an unbroken world, and they will do only really, really smart stuff. So, yep, life's hard now, but it's not going to be hard forever. And students, what if you really began to embrace this, and you just said, you know what, it's true. Life is hard for now, but it's not going to be hard forever. And the truth is, walking with Jesus right now, man, that is hard. If you're a teenager, if you're in college, life is hard now, right? I mean, there's temptation, and temptation wouldn't be temptation if it wasn't tempting. I mean, and you're like, all my friends are doing these things that I know I shouldn't do, and it's kind of hard to walk with Jesus because I kind of really want to go over there and do those things. And so it's really hard. Life is hard now. Walking with Jesus is hard now, but it's not going to be hard forever because one day I'm going to be unbroken, living with God in an unbroken world, and I am going to want to do the right thing, and doing the right thing is going to be easy peasy. So life's hard for now, but guess what? I'm not always going to face this temptation to do that which I know Jesus does not want me to do. Life is hard for now because we live in a fallen, broken world. Now, here's the thing. You really do need to get your head around this. Because if you don't understand pain and you don't react to pain well, you don't react to pain with the mind of Christ, then you know what's going to happen? The pain is going to sap your passion for Jesus. Where do I get that? Right out of the text. Did you catch it? Verse 2. From the end of the earth, I call to you. He said, man, I'm crying. Verse 1. And then he goes, hey, from the end of the earth, I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hard times drain us of our will. They drain us of our desire to walk uprightly before Jesus. Think about it. When you're going through intense times of pain, somebody's died. Man, you're facing financial crisis. You and your child are each other's, you and your spouse are at each other's throat. I mean, you're facing a health crisis. I mean, whatever the pain is, when you're going through a painful time, the Bible says, according to David, it just saps your heart for God. Your heart grows faint for the things of God, for walking uprightly before Jesus. It grows faint for loving Jesus back. It grows faint for loving others. It grows faint for finding your identity in grace. It grows faint for gathering with other believers. It grows faint for growing in the Word of God and praying and confessing sin and walking in obedience. Your heart grows faint for giving your time, your talent, and your treasure to the work of the kingdom of God. Your heart grows faint for going and making disciples. I'm telling you, when you go through tough times, if you don't understand that life is hard for now, but not forever, your heart for Jesus is going to grow faint. And it's going to become harder and harder to follow God's will instead of your own will. You ever travel and you're directionally challenged like me, and so you just use your little Waze app or some other directional map on your cell phone, right? I mean, those things are like God's gift to humanity, or at least to Gary Singleton. And you know, someday I'm gonna die just from watching where I should have turned, like, ooh, ah, you know, I don't know, whatever. But I mean, I just follow the Waze map. But the thing about a Waze map is, if y'all notice this, you turn that baby on, and I'm telling you, you better have it plugged into a phone charger. And if you don't have a phone charger, you better just stop and ask for directions and turn that, because it is going to drain your battery. If you notice that? I mean, you're not going to make it more than 100 miles before your battery is gone. Listen, what David is telling us in this psalm, what the Holy Spirit is communicating to us, is nothing depletes your battery for God, your passion for God, like seasons of pain. And yet you're going to go through seasons of pain. You're not even going to make it through a single day with no pain. Why? Because we live in a broken world. And number two, listen to this. Think about this. Because you've got an enemy. That's what David said, right, in the psalm. You have been, see it, verse 3, you've been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. You want to know why your life is hard for now? Though it won't be forever. Because you've got a sworn enemy. And stop pretending like you don't have somebody who is out to get you. You've got an enemy. His name is Satan. He's the devil. He's the evil one. And stop thinking that Satan actually likes you, or that he's wanting to help you. Stop thinking that he will ever pull for you or pray for you or encourage you. All Satan wants to do, he's this roaring lion. He's wanting to devour you. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life. And Satan attacks, and he keeps on attacking you. Why? Because he knows that pain depletes your passion for God and for following Jesus. So he pours on the pain. Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're going through hard times, instead of saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Recognize God is not doing that to you. The reality is, your enemy is doing that to you, seeking to destroy and devour every healthy, good thing in your life. That's the reality. Why is life so hard for now? Because we live in a broken world, and because we have a sworn enemy. So how about this? What if you began to really change your perspective on your pain? What if when the pain comes and the tears begin to flow, you, instead of saying, God, how dare you? God, how could you? God, why have you turned your back on me? God, why have you abandoned me? God, why are you doing this to me? God, you're cursing me. God, you hate me. Why do you hate me? What if instead you began to say, you know what the reality is? Jesus told me this in his word. My life is hard for now, because I'm a broken person living in a broken world. And as it turns out, broken people hurt each other. And life is hard for now because I've got an enemy who's seeking to destroy me. But praise God, life is not going to be hard forever. And by the way, even now in the midst of the pain, here's something that you need to understand. Hard times do not prove God's absence. Your tears are not proof positive that God has abandoned you. It's just proof positive that what God told you really is true. Life is hard for now, but it's not going to be hard forever. But here's the thing you need to keep in mind. God helps. When you go through painful times, God is there in the midst of the painful times. Where do I get that? Am I just making that up so that we can all leave here and feel good? No, I'm getting it right out of the Word of God. Did you notice how he says, from the ends of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge. You've been a strong tower for me against the enemy. Think about a strong tower. What does a strong tower do? Jesus is your strong tower. That's what the Word says. What does a strong tower do? A strong tower protects you against the attacks of an enemy, no matter how powerful that enemy is. This would have been David. He would have been writing about 900 years before the birth of Jesus. And so imagine getting caught in an open field in that day. Oh, I mean, they're not going to blast you with a bazooka or shoot you with a machine gun. But I'm telling you, you do not want to be caught out in the open if you are surrounded by your enemy. I mean, they can stab you. Don't you feel better now? They can sling a stone and kill you. I mean, they can run you over with horses. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that they could do to you. But if you're in a strong tower, guess what? Their arrows don't hurt you. Their stones don't hurt you. Their horses can't run over you. Strong towers protect. And Jesus is saying in this psalm, listen, when you're going through painful times, when the tears are flowing, recognize, sure, life is hard for now, but it's not going to be that way forever. But understand this, I am there, and in the midst of this, I am your strong tower. If you've ever traveled to Israel, you've been to probably a place called Masada. If you've not been there, man, it's a cool place to go to. Masada is just this hilltop, mountaintop fortress. And it's so well known because the Roman Empire controlled Israel in the first century. Israel rebelled against the Roman Empire. And so Rome came with all of her armies and surrounded Jerusalem. And in 70 AD, just sacked Jerusalem, just destroyed Jerusalem. Destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. There were a group of Jewish rebels who were able to escape to Masada. And amazingly, even though they're being attacked by the most powerful empire on the planet, the Roman Empire, the most powerful enemy they could ever face, they held out in Masada until 73 AD, almost 3 years. Because they were protected by a strong tower. Church family, listen to me. Our strong tower is not Masada. Our strong tower is Messiah. And there is no one who can scale the walls of our Messiah. Amen, church family? That is worth celebrating. Now, listen to this. You go, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's nice words. God's my strong tower. But when the tears are flowing, I don't really feel the protection. Well, remember what God said. Number one, in the midst of your pain, he says, I'm not going to allow more to come upon you than you can stand. Remember, students, in the midst of the temptation, he said, in every temptation, I'll be there and I'll provide you a way of escape. That's translation. God's going to show you how to get out of Dodge. When he shows you how to get out of Dodge, get out of Dodge. And he says, oh, by the way, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. In other words, in the midst of your tears, consider it joy because I'm there in the midst of that. And I'm going to use the pain to actually develop and perfect your faith. And he said, if you just don't see me, you don't understand what I'm doing, you can't understand how I've got you surrounded and protected, how I'm a strong tower around you, then just believe this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God causes all things to work together for good. For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He said, I'm going to be there in the midst of the pain and the tears. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the brokenness and the heartache and I am going to shape it into something that is beyond your ability to comprehend. Never doubt for a minute in the midst of your tears that God is present and he is helping as your strong tower. Final point is this. Life is hard for now, but not forever. But in the midst of the pain for now, God is here. He is present and he helps, but he expects us to do our part. Did you notice verse 1? David said, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. When facing painful days, you and I are not just innocent bystanders. We're not just sitting ducks. We're not uninvolved or detached. God says, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the tears, you've got something to do, and I want you to do it. And what I want you to do is I want you to pray. That's our part. Let's pray. Mom, did you know the number one weapon to use to protect your family against the enemy is prayer? Asking for God's protection, for his presence, for his blessing, for his wisdom, for his guidance. Dads, lead. Make sure that your home is a home filled with prayer. Because your family is going to go through tough times. That's not news to you, and it's not news to God. But God says, here's what I want you to do, Dad. I want you to lead. I want you to make sure that prayer is customary, that prayer is constant in your family. Dad, pray over meals. Pray before hard conversations. Pray before you respond to your child's disobedience. Pray before you respond when your child tells you that you are being unreasonable. Because guess what, Dad? Sometimes you are. I did that just to kind of win y'all over. What do you think? Is that all right? Yes, amen. But most of the time, you're not. That is supposed to be funny, but don't worry about it. I can take rejection. What's your part? Pray, obey. Look at this. Look at verse 5. For you, O God, have heard my, say this word with me. What does it say? Vows. God, in the midst of my tears, in the midst of my pain, I'm crying, God, I'm crying. But God, in the midst of my tears, you hear my prayers. And Lord, you've recorded my vows. You've recorded my commitment to walk uprightly before you, to obey you, to do exactly what you tell me to do. Listen, obedience positions you for God's protection and blessing. Have you ever heard a successful person say with humility, oh man, honestly, my success, you know what I attribute it to mostly? I was just in the right place at the right time. A lot of people are successful because they were in the right place at the right time, right? Think about Amazon. A pandemic comes along and they're like, oh, by the way, you do realize what we do, right? You can stay home. You can just order stuff on your internet. And we're going to deliver it to your door. You don't even have to put your mask on. Just wait till we leave and you pick it up. Man, and Amazon just explodes because it's a company that was in the right place at the right time. Think about if you're a homeowner right now and you want to sell, you're in the right place at the right time. Do you realize when you obey God, listen to me, please hear this. It positions you in the right place at the right time to experience the miracles of God in your life. When you obey, think about it. Let me just give you an example. All right, God says, forgive. What is that all about? Okay, well, other people are broken, and that means broken people are going to sin against you. It's going to cause all kinds of pain in your life. And God says, all right, your deal is to pray, stay in touch with me, and I'm going to tell you what to do, and then your deal is to obey. And what I want you to do in this situation is I want you to forgive. Now, what does forgive do? Forgiveness positions you in the right place at the right time to experience the miracle of God in your life. Because all of a sudden, when you forgive, then God begins to free you from a life of bitterness and animosity and just plotting revenge and just becoming hateful and spiteful and just withdrawn and just letting anger eat you up. And by the way, when you forgive, it also does something else. It positions you in the right place at the right time to perhaps even be an agent of reconciliation, bringing together broken people at the foot of the cross. You see, forgiveness, God says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. When you obey, you're actually positioning yourself to experience a miracle of God, even if the miracle of God is just to avoid a lot of arguments. Because you were quick to hear, but slow to speak and slow to anger. Now, let me ask you this. You understand obedience positions you for God's protection and God's blessing. With that in mind, let me ask you. Have you ever heard of the Whole 30 diet? Yeah, I mean, I looked it up on the internet, so I know all about it, and I'll tell you. It's a 30-day cleanse, 30 days of no sugar, dairy, grain, alcohol, or junk food. 30 days, some of y'all are already going, I'm tapping out. 30 days of eating vegetables and eggs and fruit and nuts and fiber, and here are the benefits. Guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed. Cleanse your body of toxins, free you from being controlled by craving for sugar and carbs. That's an outright lie, just so you know. Because I've gone without sugar for 30 days, and on day 31, I was like, thank you, Jesus. But anyway, so, and you're going to lose weight. There you go. Now, I'm going to invite you, listen to me, to try God's Whole 30. Don't worry, it has nothing to do with your diet, what you do or don't eat. I'm going to invite you to embrace, to try God's Whole 30 in your mind. And here's what I want. I want when you cry this week, when you get frustrated this week, when you get irritated this week, when you just start feeling, man, life is painful, I want you to, just like it's a mantra, I want you to go, yeah, it is painful. Because life's hard for now, but not forever. But you know what? God is my strong tower, and he's here in the midst of it, whether I can see him or not, and he's helping me. And you know what? In the midst of my tears, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do. I'm going to pray and stay in touch with him, and he's going to guide me, and then I'm going to obey. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to obey. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to obey. I'm just going to do what he tells me to do. If he tells me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. If he tells me to speak up, I'm going to speak up. I'm just going to do what he tells me to do. I'm going to obey. I'm telling you, you do that, and you are going to begin to, listen to me, I believe this with every fiber of my being. If you do that, you're going to lose 20 pounds in 30 days. No. Just want to make sure you were listening. You do that, here's what will happen. The Holy Spirit will detox your mind. God will free you from being controlled by negative, pessimistic, bitter thoughts. And your relationships will begin to flourish, even the hard ones. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In just a moment, not right now, I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I'm going to ask you to commit yourself to God's Whole 30. What is it again, Gary? You're in the midst of your tears. You're going through painful times. God, I get it. Life's hard for now, but it's not going to be forever. Praise God. And God, you're helping me. You're my strong tower. I'm just going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to pray and obey. That's God's whole 30. You go, I can't do that for 30 days. All right, do it for 7. I'm just asking you to commit yourself to do God's whole 30. Try it. God is going to do a cleanse of your mind. And you're going to find that you begin to flourish even in the midst of your pain. I've asked Kristen to come, and she's just going to sing over you a song that my wife heard this last week. And then she heard what I was preaching, and she said, man, that would be such a good connection. And just talks about how Jesus holds us in the midst of our pain. Now, after Kristen finishes, listen, we're going to be dismissed. But listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't need to do God's whole 30 first. What you need to do first is recognize that you can live as if you're the king of your life, or you can live making Jesus Christ the king, trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection as payment for your sin. And you can repent and believe and follow him. And I'm telling you, you will begin to flourish in ways that you can never even imagine until you make Jesus Christ your king. At the end of the service, I'm going to be right back there, and I'd love to talk to you about that. Or any decision, if you're a guest here, I'd love to meet you this morning. Come and just take my hand and let me, or we'll fist bump if you're worried. I'd love to meet you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to bow your head. I'm asking you right now, would you commit to God's whole 30 as Kristen comes and just sings over you? Lord Jesus, may we, in the midst of our tears, just recognize, embrace, and admit the reality, yep, life's hard for now. But thank you, Jesus, it won't be forever. And God, you're here. You're my strong tower. You're helping me. And God, I know what you want me to do right now is just to pray and do what you tell me to do. Obey. Oh God, may we commit to God's whole 30 right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just make that commitment as Kristen sings over you?
And I am sure I have a 'cause I know nobody.